Ever hold a smartphone and just think, like, wow, this is a seriously sleek piece of tech.
Yeah, definitely.
But have you ever thought about, like, how it actually gets made?
Really?
Well, today we're going deep into the world of injection molding.
Okay.
It's more than just, melting plastic. It's a whole science.
I'm intrigued.
We'll be looking at this article, How Does the Injection Rate Affect Injection Molding Quality?
Catchy title.
It's all about how fast or slow they inject. That melted plastic impacts the final product.
So, like, the speed matters.
Big time. But first, for anyone who's, like, never seen this process, what's injection molding in a nutshell?
Basically, picture superheated liquid plastic being forced into a mold.
Like a fancy cake pan.
Exactly, but way more precise, obviously. And how fast that plastic goes in, that's the injection rate.
Makes sense.
And that speed, it's like the key to whether the thing turns out right or not.
So what happens if they mess up the speed?
All sorts of things, like if it's too slow, the plastic can cool too soon.
Before it even fills the mold.
Yep. You get gaps, weak spots, the whole thing could be messed up.
And too fast.
That's bad too. The plastic might warp, you get uneven surfaces.
Sounds like a Goldilocks situation.
It totally is. Not too fast, not too slow, gotta get it just right. And there's no one size fits all speed, unfortunately.
Right, because every product's different.
Every plastic is different too.
That's what I thought was super cool in the article, how they compared polypropylene and polycarbonate.
Oh yeah, those are like night and day.
The injection rates are completely different.
Because they're what's it called?
Fluidity.
Right, fluidity. Polypropylene flows super easy, like water.
So you can inject it fast, no problem.
Exactly. That's why it's good for like those thin food containers.
But polycarbonate, that's a whole different beast.
Way thicker, like honey when it's melted, inject that too fast and
Yeah,
boom.
disaster.
Basically, too much resistance, the mold could even break.
So you need to match this speed to the plastic, essentially.
Exactly. They actually test each type to find that sweet spot.
Like a chef perfecting a recipe.
Totally. Okay, so we've got different plastics, but then there's the shape of the thing you're making, right?
Totally. Like a simple bottle versus a toy with tons of details.
You got it. Thin stuff needs fast injection, or it hardens before it reaches the edges.
But complex shapes.
Those need that slow and steady approach.
Like filling a really intricate mold with chocolate.
Perfect analogy. Every nook and cranny needs time to fill up.
The article had some cool tables showing those differences, right?
Really helpful visuals. They show how messing up that injection rate, well, it's not pretty. Air pockets, warping, you name it.
So we've got plastic type, product shape,
Yeah.
but even tiny details matter, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Even if something's symmetrical or not, it can change things.
That's where the gate comes in, right?
Yes. The gate is how the plastic gets into the mold.
Like the doorway.
Exactly. Too small, and you're restricting the flow. Too big, things get messy fast.
Makes sense.
And the placement? That matters too, especially if the design isn't symmetrical.
To make sure the plastic reaches every part evenly.
You got it. Like setting up irrigation channels so all your crops get watered.
I never thought about the mold being so complex.
Oh, there's way more to it than meets the eye. It's a whole system down there.
And that's what we'll be exploring next. So it's not just the gate, right? Like the whole mold itself is a big deal.
It totally is. We were talking about the gate,
Yeah,
right?
like the entry
But
point.
it's way more than that. It's like the whole mold's got to guide that plastic to the right spot.
And the article mentioned something called the runner layout.
Right. Like, imagine the plumbing in your house, but for melted plastic.
Okay, so there are channels inside the mold
Yeah, they connect the gate to all the different parts of the mold.
to make sure everything gets filled properly.
Exactly. Otherwise, you get like weak spots or the plastic doesn't reach everywhere.
And then there are those tiny holes they talked about, the vents. Those seemed important.
Super important. You know how when you fill a bottle with water, the air has to go somewhere?
Right.
Same thing here. Those vents let the air escape as the plastic goes in.
So you don't end up with a bubbly mess.
Exactly. It's all about making sure the plastic flows smoothly and fills every bit of the mold.
It's like they're thinking about every possible thing that could go wrong.
They really are. Actually, the article has this awesome table. It shows like the effects of different mold designs.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it shows how if you mess up the gate size or the runner layout or even the venting,
It can affect the whole product.
big time. But this all makes me wonder, like, how do they even decide what the best process is for each thing they're making?
Right. There's so much to consider.
So much. First off, they got to figure out what the product's even to be used for.
Like what properties it needs to have.
Yep. Say you're making a helmet. That needs to be super tough.
So you'd probably use that polycarbonate we talked about.
Exactly. And then they look at the design. Simple shapes are way easier to mold.
But if it's something super detailed, You got to slow things down.
Yep. And the designers and the mold makers have to like really work together.
Because the design has to actually be moldable, right?
Totally. And that's where the mold maker's experience comes in.
To design the gate, the runners, all that stuff.
Exactly. It's like they're choreographing the whole flow of the plastic.
So the mold is basically like a dance floor for the molten plastic.
I like that. And then, of course, you've got the machine itself.
Right. It has to do its part, too.
It's like the engine of the whole operation.
Yeah.
It heats the plastic, injects it, holds it under pressure while it cools.
So many things could go wrong.
Oh, yeah. If the machine's not calibrated right or if it's not maintained.
You end up with a bad product.
Basically. So it's like every decision along the way impacts the next one.
Like a chain reaction.
Totally.
Yeah.
And like, even with the injection rate, you gotta make trade-offs.
How so?
Well, going faster might save time and money, right?
Here.
But that could mean more stress on the plastic, so it might break easier later on.
So faster isn't always better.
Nope. It's about finding that balance, good quality, but also efficient.
And sometimes that means changing the design a little.
Sometimes, yeah. Or maybe using a different plastic that's easier to work with.
So lots of back and forth between everyone involved.
Totally. Designers, material experts, mold makers, machine operators, they're all part of the team.
Wow. It's like way more complicated than I ever imagined.
But that's what makes it so interesting. And there's all this cool stuff happening in the field too. New materials, new tech.
Oh yeah. That's what I really wanted to get into.
All right, let's dive in.
Okay. So new materials, new tech, lay it on me.
Well, one of the biggest things is bio-based plastics.
Like made from plants.
Exactly. Like, instead of all that fossil fuel stuff.
So way better for the environment.
Yeah. And it's not just about being like eco-friendly. These bioplastics, they have some cool properties.
Oh, yeah. Like what?
Some break down naturally, like they just decompose.
That's awesome.
And others, they're crazy strong, like just as tough as the regular plastics.
So it's not just a replacement. It's like a whole new category of materials.
Totally. They're even making some that are like antimicrobial for medical stuff.
Wild. Okay, what about technology? Anything new there?
Oh, yeah. Tons of stuff. 3D printing, for example.
I thought that was like a totally different thing.
It is, but it's kind of merging with injection molding in some cool ways.
How so?
Like they can use 3D printing to make those really complex molds.
Oh, the ones we were talking about earlier.
Yep. The ones that would be a nightmare to make the old way.
So 3D printing helps make injection molding even better.
Exactly. It opens up a ton of possibilities for design and stuff.
That's pretty amazing. Anything else?
Oh, yeah. AI and machine learning are getting big in this field, too.
So, like, the machines are learning?
Pretty much. They can analyze all the data from the process in real time.
And what does that do?
Well, they can spot problems before they happen, help fine-tune the injection rate, all sorts of things.
It's like having like a super smart assistant watching over everything.
Exactly. And all of this, it's not just theory. It's actually happening in factories right now.
Wow. So injection molding is getting even more high tech.
For sure. And it's leading to like higher quality products, less waste. It's pretty exciting.
This whole deep dive has been eye-opening.
I'm glad you think so.
I never realized how much goes into making like even the simplest plastic things.
Right. It's a whole hidden world.
So next time I see a plastic bottle or whatever, I'm going to be thinking about all this.
I hope so. It's pretty cool stuff when you think about it.
Thanks for taking us on this journey.
No problem. Always happy to talk about this stuff.
And thanks to everyone for listening. We'll catch you next time on The Deep Dive.